No matter how you look at it, the election of Donald Trump is turning the heads of state around the world. IQ Al Rasooli, former Iraqi and Islamic expert, joins us on the program today to give us his perception of how world leaders are responding.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review, featuring the best segments taken from our Stand in the Gap Today daily program. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth. Stand by to hear a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. The pastor's and the believer's goal should be to impact our culture for Christ. As part of our mission to urge pastors to boldly preach the whole counsel of God and equip people to be soldiers and ambassadors for Christ, we're establishing APN chapters in all 50 states. Learn more on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Now, here's our host and American Pastors Network President, Sam Rohr.
Hello and welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend. You'll want to hold on to your seatbelts as we're going to travel to Europe and around the world to see the reactions of various leaders and nations to the election through the eyes of our Middle East and Islamic expert, IQ Al Rasooli. The information you're about to hear isn't what you'll hear on mainstream media, but as IQ puts the pieces together, you'll be amazed at how many world leaders are being forced to take sides, either the no-nonsense nationalist approach from President-elect Donald Trump or the globalist mindset of the Obama administration. The reason it's important that we understand what's happening around the world is because our enemy, Satan, and the enemies of God work under the cover of darkness. Their deeds can only be exposed with the light of truth. When the truth is revealed, the enemies of God are put to shame and their plans are thwarted. This election has been a prime example of light triumphing over darkness. Understanding and applying the truth as we enter this new phase in our nation's history is of utmost importance. The pulpits must be the source of truth, not only God's eternal truth as revealed in the Bible, but also the application of biblical principles as to what's happening around us. As we move into this first segment with IQ Al Rasooli and my co-host David Kistler, we're going to be talking about the divine intervention of God in this election and what a Trump presidency might mean for those who love freedom.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the world continues to wonder and shake its head, their heads collectively, at the election of Donald Trump. The controlled media, the Marxist jihadist enemies of the United States, funded by George Soros and his revolutionary comrades, including certain members of Congress, are still seeking to do what they can to collapse the administration newly coming. They're spreading lots of rumors. There's lots of things going on, as you know. And if you listen to the controlled media, which I don't recommend, you're finding that they are doing that. As I look at frontline news right now, I see that across the world, the President, Obama, is over meeting with Angela Merkel, and there are headlines that say the globalist plotting survival. There's a lot of things happening around the world today, and we've been trying to, in these last days, bring unique perspectives to bear to help understand this whole issue as it's unfolding. And we're going to bring in today a special guest that's not new to Stand in the Gap today, but he's not with us now for about a month. His name is IQ Al Rasooli. He is a former Iraqi living in exile. He's the author of the trilogy, Unveiling Islam. And with that, I am going to welcome all of you listeners today to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. David Kistler and I will be leading the program today. Gary Dahl is away on vacation. And I'm going to welcome in now, right now, IQ, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's always a joy having you because, some guests, you wonder if they have a firm opinion. When we ask you a question, you never have an equivocating position. You are clear and straight to the point, and that's why we want to have you on here, IQ. You've been traveling for some time. We've missed you having you on, so we have some ground to cover. And literally in the program today, I want to traverse the world in this first segment right here, because in the interim, since you were with us last, we have had a notable election, obviously, on November 8th. You do not live in the United States. As you have said before, you're overseas. You give us a perspective that is very, very unique, both from being overseas, plus also being a world expert on Islam, and an Iraqi, born Iraqi, but you're now living in exile. I want to start with asking your opinion. I'll tell people where we're going to go. We're going to get your opinion, your personal opinion on this election here. We, in the segment two, are going to get your update on really the reactions of the European leaders, the European citizens, and the European jihadists to the election of Trump. Then we're going to go to Europe, to Russia, and get your opinion what's happening there with Putin and Russia in regard to the election of President-elect Trump. And then we're going to end up in the Middle East. So we're going to be going to the hot spots of the world. Your opinion and input will help us a great deal. Let me start with this right now, IQ. Did you expect Donald Trump to actually win the presidential election? I know you wanted to because you were one of the first guys on this program during the presidential primary. When all the Republicans were there, we asked you a question months ago who you thought the Islamic jihadists of the world would prefer least to have elected. And you said right off the bat, they hate Trump. Well, he's now there. So let me ask you this. Were you surprised? And what did you feel when you actually saw the numbers coming in that was indicating that actually Clinton was losing and Trump was winning?
I don't want to sound arrogant, but if you listen to other radio interviews I had 10, 12 months ago, I had absolutely no doubt, none whatsoever, that Donald Trump will win, and I'll tell you why. Everything he stated from the very beginning was music to my ears. I'm not an American, but I know more about America, and I love America more than many Americans in the United States. What did he say? He said, close the borders. I agree. He said, we should worry about Muslims coming into America. 100%. I agree. Bring jobs. I agree. Bring industry. What did he say was wrong? So he was articulating what most Americans couldn't articulate. Why? Because under 8 years of Obama and Hillary Clinton, the political correct police state imposed upon the Americans to close their mouth shut. He articulated what millions of Americans wanted to say. Personally, honestly, I had no doubt. And I'll tell you what, on the 8th of November, literally a few hours before the 8th of November, I had a radio interview with America. Mm-hmm. And they told me, what are you going to do tonight? I said, I'm going to go to sleep. And I did. No, honestly, I did. And I got a phone call. I got an email from America at 4 o'clock in the morning, my time in Europe, to tell me that Donald Trump is winning. I replied, wait until it is a fact. And it was a fact. I tell you something. It is as if by divine providence that on 11-9, which is the 11th of September, sorry, 11th of November, I apologize, 9th of November, because I'm talking American style now. It is as if by divine providence that on the 9th of November, the reverse of 9th of September, by the way, the figures are 11-9 and 9-11. We, the people of the USA, elected Donald J. Trump to be the 45th president of the Republic. I mentioned divine providence because the odds that he would have succeeded were 130-1 against. And yet, Donald J. Trump was able to awaken and energize millions of otherwise apathetic Americans to hopefully first stem and then reverse the downward spiral to self-destruction in the last 8 years of the Obama administration. Mm. And 11-9 is the triumph of Trump's will and perseverance against all odds. 11-9 is the rising of the American phoenix after the downfall of 9-11. No other American could have done this. None that has even had a pigment of anybody's imagination. What do you think?
IQ, let me just jump in here and say this. That is a phenomenal observation that you have just made. Sam, we've not heard anybody use that kind of contrast between 9-11 and 11-9. That is incredibly astute on your part, IQ. Let me ask you this, if I could, very, very quickly. I think you have used the term, and maybe some others have maybe used the term as well, the resurrection of the United States to describe what happened on the 8th of November and, of course, on the 9th of November, 11-9, as you're you're calling it, the awareness that Donald Trump is going to be the 45th president of the United States. You have called that a resurrection of the U.S. What did you mean by that? Are you saying that America has come back, or is this a reflection of what you and a host of others are hoping will happen, that this will be the stimulus for America to come back from the brink?
Yes, America was going down. And if Hillary Clinton became president, America would have been finished. By the way, I'm not exaggerating when I say Donald Trump would have saved Western civilization if he does what he promised he will do.
IQ al-Rasuli, former Iraqi, living in exile now, author of the trilogy Unveiling Islam, giving us a very unique perspective, someone living overseas, of the election. Amazing, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be, the rest of the program is going to be a lot like this. In the second segment, we're going to move into the understanding of what the European leaders think about Trump, what the citizens think about Trump, and what the jihadists in Europe think about Trump. Stay tuned. You're going to enjoy this.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, and we just aired the introduction to our theme today about the reaction of the world leaders to the election of Donald Trump and Mike Pence with our guest, IQ al-Rasuli. IQ is going to tell us next what those in the UK are saying, and then he's going to share what the Muslim population thinks of a Donald Trump in office.
Well, IQ al-Rasuli, our special guest today, we're glad to have you back, and you didn't disappoint us in the first segment. Your yay is our yays and your nay are nays, and that's exactly the way we like it on this program. Tell the truth and spell it clearly. And I now want to move from your opinion, as you were expressing on the first segment, yours and other folks overseas, to the election of Donald Trump, and you made a very, very great good point. That it's ironic that on 11/9 we have nearly an exact opposite to what we had on 9/11. Great point. And that's going to be worthy of some additional thinking, I think, on our part. There's a lot of comparison to be made. But let's stay now in Europe, and let's travel across there. I have three questions for you. Let's take one at a time. One is that the opinion of the European leaders, because almost immediately the night when the numbers were coming in, most of the European leaders, at least the globalist types, were obviously dismayed. Angela Merkel, the French president, they were beside themselves. But if I recall, the Hungarian president was very much in favor. Now, this is my first thought here I want to ask you. It seems that the opinion of the leaders tended to be whether or not they were supporters of the European Union, the one world government, or whether or not they were actually people perhaps who were favoring a more populist position, perhaps. That's just an observation. Tell us, IQ al-Rasuli, how you are seeing the attitude of the European leaders as they are now speaking out and perhaps aligning in relative position to the new Trump-Pence administration.
By the way, your analysis is absolutely correct. The globalist leaders in Europe were against Trump. They were against him even the day he said he wanted to become a president. Everybody laughed at Trump. Everybody thought he was a joke. Everybody denigrated him. And I mean by everybody, I mean every leader in Europe. All the media in America, all the media in Europe, and I mean all, you know, if you have one media out of 100, I'm not interested. All the media, all of them were against him. All of them thought he was a joke. He's not a joke, he's a joker. He's a joker in the pack of games. He trumped them. Donald Trump trumped all of them.
That's a great analogy, IQ.
Yeah, IQ, you are on a roll today, my friend. These are excellent analogies that you're using. I want to ask this question, if I could, as a follow-up. What can you tell us about the attitude of the citizens of Europe, more specifically the citizens of the UK, those who voted for Brexit? Of course, Donald Trump encouraged, you know, the Brexit vote, encouraged the UK to pull out of the EU. What are you sensing from the citizenry on the ground in Europe, more specifically in the United Kingdom?
In Europe in general and United Kingdom specifically, they have exactly the same aspirations as what happened in America. All the opposition parties in Europe were ecstatic that Donald Trump won. All of them. I'm talking about the opposition parties. Marine Le Pen in France, Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, all of the other all of them were extremely happy. Why? They don't want globalism. They are nationalists. They're not populists. They are nationalists. They're not national socialist Nazis. They are nationalists. What do I mean by nationalists? They want their borders. They want to have their own identity. They don't want to be flooded by millions of non-assimilating, treacherous, treasonous, mass-murdering Muslims. Do I make myself clear?
I think I can figure out what you're saying, IQ, and most of our listeners are very bright people, too, so I think they've got it just as clearly as we did. Let's follow up on that a little bit. There were many people who were...
With all due respect, let me explain something to you. The Western Europeans are from the Eastern Europeans. What do I mean by Eastern European? The nations such as Hungary and Poland, who were under the Soviet Union, who understood exactly what totalitarianism is, they know what Islam would do to them. That's why Hungarian leaders, the Polish leaders, the leaders in Slovakia, all of them supported Trump 100%. Why? They want their national identities to remain. They don't want to be flooded by foreigners. They don't want to be part and parcel of any other group. They want to continue to have nice relationship with every neighbor, but they want to be Hungarians. They want to be Poles. They want to be English.
That's well, you're describing, IQ, what many folks said, and the individual from Holland was one, or Belgium, I think, made the comment that really what was we were witnessing was a movement led by this individual called Donald Trump. Now, that's what you're saying. Now, let me move on to the other, and then we'll come back and follow up on this. Let's go to the third category of people. You're talking about the citizens generally were interested in, are very glad for the election because they want their borders. They want just to live in peace and be called, if they're British, they want to be called British. If they're Hungarians, they want to be Hungarians. Now, the Muslims that you mentioned, the Islamists that have invaded Europe and Britain, they are there. That's a whole different ballgame. I can't believe that they were happy. So tell me what you are finding their response to be now to the election of Donald Trump.
Every single Muslim, and I'm not generalizing, I'm specifically saying, every single Muslim, because they are Muslims, they whine, they're like crybabies. They always pretend they are the victims. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1400 years of history, Muslims have never been victims. Muslims have always been the victimizers. That's why they conquered three continents, subjugated hundreds of millions of people, slaughtered hundreds of millions of people. Now, every Muslim in America supported, literally every Muslim in America supported Hillary. Why? Because she said open borders, music to their ears. In Europe, the same thing. By the way, what's happening now in Europe, I'm going to predict on your show. 2017, there are going to be elections in Europe. And I hope, and sincerely hope, that the French people, the Italians, the Dutch will do to their leaders exactly what the American people did to the elite in America. Overthrow them.
Well, I think that's a great...
Overthrow
well,
them.
I think that's a great goal. I mean, a great goal and something to hope for. Let me put into this framework, IQ, this question. If, in fact... What you say is true. I'm not saying if, but I'm saying since what you're saying is true, be it in the United States or be it in Europe, the Muslims that are there, the jihadist movement that were planning really on a Hillary election, on the furtherance of one world government election, they were obviously anticipating for a greater and greater role. But now that appears to be diminishing. And from what we are finding in the Trump administration, his appointment of people going forward, it's likely that he may actually and identify the Muslim Brotherhood here in the United States as they are terrorists. What do you expect that we will see from the Islamic movement and the jihadists in Europe and the United States in this window here in the remaining couple of months of an Obama administration that coddles them and a Trump administration which will absolutely change their entire standing? What do you see and forecast happening?
It is possible that they will assassinate him. There will be an attempt on his life.
Talking about Donald Trump.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I said I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Yep.
Look, Pastor, you know very well that based entirely upon the Islamic scripture of Quran and Hadith. And Quran and Hadith are the foundations of Sharia. No Muslim, I want to make myself clear, crystal clear. I mean, anyone who submits to Allah's Sharia can ever be loyal to the American Constitution, because the American Constitution is man-made, not from Allah's Sharia. Nor can any Muslim be loyal to non-Muslim Americans, who are 97% of the American people, because they are called in Islam by Muslims infidels kuffar, eternal enemies of Islam. To make sure that our listeners appreciate the magnitude and truthfulness of my statements, I challenge any listener the sum of $200,000 to prove me wrong in a live debate on television, and when failed, to pay me $200,000. What do you think?
We like it. We like it, IQ. And thus far, you know, you've issued this challenge a number of times on this program. And of course, no one has taken it up on this program. No one's taken it up with you before. IQ, I want to share something with you. And Sam, IQ, you are so spot on. Last night on Fox News, there was a representative of the Muslim community who was doing precisely what you said they are doing. And that is this. They were whining and complaining of being the victim of the Donald Trump presidency. IQ, what you said is so accurate. Islam and Muslims have never been the victims. They have always been the victimizers. Sam, this is so critical that our listening audience understand and that America understands what IQ is saying is 100% correct.
Dave, I'm glad that you shared that because, ladies and gentlemen, we know we spend time on trying to unveil, as IQ's book says, unveil Islam. It is a very real and present danger in America today. And understand what IQ said. These folks would like to assassinate this new president-elect. Understand this threat. That's not idle. We need to pray for them. We need to understand what is happening. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to continue with IQ Al-Rasuli, and we're going to go to what now is the relationship of Russia and Vladimir Putin to the election of Donald Trump. We're going to talk about the Ukraine. We're going to talk about a number of things relative to Russia and to Vladimir Putin. You want to stay tuned and listen to this as well.
We're glad you're listening to today's Stand in the Gap Weekend. Did you know that the American Pastors Network produces not only Stand in the Gap Today and Stand in the Gap Weekend, but also a one-minute program carried on over 200 stations nationwide called Stand in the Gap Minute? Here's the program from last week. I hope that you enjoy this important challenge. With Thanksgiving behind us, Christmas is just ahead. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and a joyful Stand in the Gap Minute urging you to approach this Christmas with God's view in mind. For the next few weeks, I'd like to encourage you to think carefully about Christmas. At creation, when God created man and gave him life, he planned to give him even more, a Redeemer. You see, the Christmas gift promised at creation was a demonstration of the love and mercy of God to a fallen and sinful human race. Because God so loved the world, he gave Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Creator became like the created, holy God, yet holy man, so that he could save us from our sins. Have you accepted God's greatest gift? If not, I pray you will right now. The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping people to impact the culture for Christ. Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net to find out how you can help. Welcome back to Stand in the Gap Weekend. If you've just tuned in, we've been talking about the world's reaction to the election of Donald Trump. As we continue with our program, IQ Al-Rasuli is going to talk about the developing relationship between Trump and Vladimir Putin, and where Russia stands with America. Let's listen.
For all of you listening to Stand in the Gap today, I want to remind you or invite you that you can go to our website at standinthegapradio.com and pick up archives of these programs, Stand in the Gap Today, as well as our weekend program, Stand in the Gap Weekend, and our daily program, Stand in the Gap Today, or Stand in the Gap Minute. The program today, if you're just tuning in, we have a special guest, IQ Al-Rasuli. He is an Iraqi-born individual now living in exile, and he is one of the world's leading experts on Islam, having written a trilogy of books called Unveiling Islam. He's been on our program many times and never a disappointment. Today on the program, we are using him to give us the international perspective of the election of Donald Trump. So we started with his perspective in segment one. We went to Europe last segment, and now we're going to go to Russia and Vladimir Putin. And with that in mind, let me start now right now with IQ in this regard. There were, before the election, the Clinton campaign, the Clinton Soros Trump campaign, tried to link Donald Trump in a wrong way to Vladimir Putin as a way of trying to diminish Donald Trump. It's interesting that the two of these guys do seem to respect each other. And I want to start right out with asking you this question. In your studied perspective, how would you now describe the developing relationship, and I put it that way correctly, developing relationship between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump? And does it, in your opinion, lead to greater peace possibilities in the world or greater hostility possibilities in the world between Russia and the United States or between Russia and Europe?
Very simple. Russia is not the enemy of America. The Soviet Union, communism, was the enemy of America. Russia under Putin is not a threat to America. I want people to understand that. That's why Putin respects Donald Trump. That's why Donald Trump respects Putin. Let's get this straight. Donald Trump doesn't have any assets in Russia. No tower, no casino, and no golf course. But Hillary Clinton gave away 20% of the nuclear, I think, uranium production in America to Russia. But the news media didn't dwell on this. I repeat myself again.
Yeah, say that again, because that was a big statement. Do state that again, because that was a very significant statement you just made.
Yes, because it's so important. That's why they don't mention it. Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, gave Russia 20% of the productivity of uranium in the United States of America. Don't take my word for it. Google it. And yet nobody mentioned that. They attacked Trump, who has absolutely nothing to do with Russia. Now, Putin and Trump respect each other. Putin and Trump will get on extremely well. I'll tell you why. As we speak, Obama went to Russia, to Merkel in Germany, and again he's talking about Russia as a threat to America. Not true. I want the American people to understand something. The eastern border of Ukraine that the Russians took over should be part of Russia, because over 56% of the population is Russian. The Crimea always belonged to Russia. Whether it was the Soviet Union or not, it was part and parcel of Russia. The Russians had a war, the Crimea War. Google it. Understand what I'm talking about. In a fit, Khrushchev, who was of Ukrainian origin, decided to give the Crimean Peninsula to Ukraine. He did it without consultation with the people and without consultation with his own group of communist leaders. He just said back to them. Because he never believed it was conceivable that the Soviet Union would collapse. So I want Americans to understand what Putin did was to assert his legal right to own these places. And Obama and the European Union are out, literally out of reality. They are not facing facts. They're not willing to face reality. And if they are threatening Putin, Putin is a chess player. That means a thinker. That means a person who looks at the game and anticipates five or six steps ahead. Obama is a golf player. You don't need to think five or six steps ahead.
IQ, let me ask you a question after making an observation. Sam, I think it's very interesting. The respect that IQ is talking about that exists between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin is very much similar to the respect that existed between Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan. The two men did not see everything eye to eye, of course, but there was an intense respect between Reagan and Gorbachev. And I think that's the point that IQ is trying to make. There is an intense respect from a leadership standpoint between Putin and Trump. So a point very well made. IQ, let me ask you this. It appears as from what we're hearing and what we're reading that very recently in the last couple of days that Vladimir Putin is trying to bomb the living daylights out of ISIS. Of course, Donald Trump has made statements about wanting to eliminate the ISIS threat. The two of these men working together, do you think, in your opinion, they will be effective in either pushing ISIS back or totally eliminating ISIS? Or will there be a response on the part of ISIS within the European theater, that is, more sleeper cells coming alive in Europe and perhaps even coming alive in the United States?
Okay, let's get this straight. Putin has every right to be in Syria. Every right. Why do I say every right? First of all, Syria was always part and parcel of the Russian sphere of influence. It was never part and parcel of the American sphere of reference, and not, neither to do with Europe. So Europeans and the Americans are the aggressors. I'm telling you, they are, the European Union and the Americans are the aggressors in Syria. After all, you have an elected government. Whether he is a dictator or not is irrelevant. He is the leader of a country who invited Putin and the Russians. Mm-hmm. Gaddafi was the leader of Libya, and what did the Americans and the Europeans do? Removed him. And when they removed him, and that was done by the way, Hillary Clinton, not by Obama. Hillary Clinton was the instigator of the destruction of Gaddafi. And then what happened? We have ISIS. I'll tell you what. America alone cannot destroy Islamic terrorism. Russia alone cannot do it. China alone cannot do it. India cannot do it. You need all these four powers together. Russia under Putin, America under Trump will work extremely well together because it's a give and take. Trump is a negotiator. Exactly what you said. Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan, they respected each other. Ronald Reagan did not infringe on Russia. Obama is infringing on the security of Russia. That's why Putin is at loggerheads with him. America should not go to any confrontation with Russia, not because she's afraid of them. No. Neither side is afraid of the other, because it's a mutual assured destruction either way. You should work together. Russian people, by the way, when you go to Russia, Russian people emulate Americans. They love America. They don't hate America. They love America. They love Americans. They want to do the same thing. They aspire to the same goals as Americans. It was their leaders under the Communist Soviet Union that created the confrontation. There's no hatred by Russians against Americans. It doesn't exist. Only the propaganda in your news media and the news media in the Europe. Why? Because they are the globalist ones. No. I don't believe, I'm telling you, they will get on extremely well, and they will work together to destroy ISIS. No question about that.
So IQ, what you're saying, if we look at the Middle East, really, we know that the Obama administration has really been more intent on getting rid of Assad using ISIS as a tool to do so. Donald Trump is more concerned about getting rid of ISIS than removing President Assad. So therein, is where you say we can expect something in Syria to actually resolve itself, perhaps, rather than this continued nonsense that we've been seeing during these 8 years of Obama administration.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, Obama has been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood all over the Middle East. He supported Morsi, the one who overthrew the government of
Mubarak.
Mubarak. Thank you very much for reminding me of Mubarak. Mubarak was pro-America. Gaddafi was pro-America. Gaddafi was not creating any trouble anymore. But they removed him. They wanted to bring in the Muslim Brotherhood. No Muslim entity will ever be loyal to America. No Muslim entity will be ever loyal to any non-Muslim entity. That's it. It's very simple.
It is very simple, IQ, and you make it very simple to understand. I wish that those who are in our media would understand a fraction of what you're just saying, but I'm glad our listeners understand. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, David Kistler today, and our special guest, IQ Ar-Rasooli. When we come back in this last segment, we are now going to go to the Middle East, and we are going to get more of a specific input perspective from IQ on the Middle East leaders' perspective and the Muslim countries' response to new President Trump. At the American Pastors Network, we urge pastors and Christian parents to seek a Christian education for their children, not as a preference, but a conviction. Whether in homeschool or Christian school, a Christian education is essential if we ever hope to raise godly children and change the culture for Christ. That's why on this program and our Stand in the Gap Today program, we are glad to partner with BJU Press, the nation's largest provider of K-12 Christian curriculum. Academically excellent, biblically sound, and historically accurate. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. We'll be right back with the final portion of our program, but if the information you're hearing is of interest to you, can I encourage you to visit our website and consider a year-end donation? As a token of our appreciation for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a CD of a sermon that I delivered at a Bible conference entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Culture. This message details the principles of a godly government and a nation that will ensure God's blessing. This message will be a great encouragement to you, and your gift will be a real blessing to us. Now, to close our program today, our guest, IQ Ar-Rasooli, is going to explain how a Trump administration will affect the tensions between Iran and Israel, and then we'll close with prayer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you've enjoyed the program so far. And again, you can get this program, again, listen to it in archive form by going to our website at standinthegapradio.com. The information that you've been hearing today, not only thought-provoking, but I'm assuring you, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. And this perspective, IQ Ar-Rasooli, our guest who's with us right now, we appreciate your insight. It is unique. It is straightforward. And there's not a whole lot of mumbo-jumbo with you, brother. It's right up there. So let me go now to the Middle East as we conclude our worldwide trip here right now, looking at world leaders and their response to the new elect team of Trump-Pence. In the Middle East, IQ, a tremendous hot spot. In the last segment, we were talking a little bit about the Syria and Russia and where the United States and Trump will be relative to now trying to bear down on the elimination of ISIS. And I would agree with you. I think that together, these two working together have got to push these guys back in the Middle East. However, there is Iran sitting right there. They're a problem. Russia's connected to them, but they sure do hate the United States. You have Israel down there to the south, Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the first leaders to come and congratulate Donald Trump, and one of the first international leaders that Donald Trump has invited to come visit the United States. Iran and Israel, big-time enemies. Into this scenario, how do you think, IQ, a Trump administration will address or affect this tension between Iran, for instance, and Israel?
First of all, the reason Trump supports Iran is because America is supporting the enemies.
Now, wait. Okay, did you say Trump supports Iran? Is that what you said?
I'll read myself. The reason why Putin supports Iran,
okay,
is because of the enmity between the Obama administration. Now, if and when Trump, they get together, the Putin government does not need Iran. Putin government went to Iran only because it's supporting Bashar al-Assad. But if Putin and Trump get on and they agree that Bashar al-Assad should be there, Iran will be out of the picture.
Now, that's an IQ, I got to step in here. That's a very, very interesting concept that you're saying. You're suggesting that Russia's alignment with Iran is, I'm reading into this, but you're suggesting that that was more of an alignment, perhaps as a chess player, to counterbalance what Obama was doing through this fickless Middle East effort to destabilize the Middle East, more than the fact that Vladimir Putin and Russia really like Iran and what they're doing. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Look, Iran is creating intercontinental ballistic missiles. You don't need intercontinental ballistic missiles to reach from Iran to Israel. So what do you need it for? It's to reach Russia, China, and America. Iran is a threat to all these countries. It's not only a threat to Israel. Iran is a terrorist state. Not the people, the government. It's not a government. It's a theocracy. No. People didn't realize this 2.5 years ago. On my radio interviews, even more than that, I said, Putin is a born-again Christian. Christian in the sense of Eastern Russian Orthodox Christian. People laughed at me when I said that. No, he's not a communist. He grew up under communism. He was in the KGB. But his mother brought him up as a Christian. She baptized him. People don't read. People don't investigate. They listen to the news media. The news media have been lying to you for 60 years, and they continue to lie to you now. They haven't learned anything from the defeat that they received at the hands of Donald Trump. News media, all the elite people have not learned an iota of why they have lost. And thank God, they're making more and more mistakes. And the more mistakes they make, the better Donald Trump will look in the eyes of the American people.
IQ, I've got to say, that's quite a mind-bending perspective that you're putting out there. I mean, I would agree that if Vladimir Putin would be Christian from the perspective, like many Christians in America, 80% who say they're Christians, but they're not really Christians. They just mean that they're not Muslims. But on the other hand, clearly, Vladimir Putin does not favor Islam. He knows that they are an enemy to freedom, and yet he's down there involved in supporting some of those actions, although he does not obviously want to support ISIS. So you're saying better to keep your enemies close, Iran, vis-a-vis Russia, and put the pressure where the real bad guys are, the jihadists, meaning ISIS. But you're painting an interesting picture there, I got to admit.
Well, it's logical. It really is very, it's really very simple logic. Islam is the enemy of every human being on the planet who is not a Muslim. That's 80% of humanity. That's 6.5 billion people. They are the enemies of every human being who is not a Muslim. Russia is not Muslim. Russia is not Muslim. China is not Muslim. India is not Muslim. Israel is not Muslim. They are the enemies of everybody. And they are the ones who are whining and crying, baby, ah, we are victims. You're not victims. Give me a Muslim in a debate on television in America. Give me 10 minutes. I swear to you, Islam will never recover. You give me 10 minutes. Islam will never recover. Give me 10 minutes. Primetime television in a debate with a Muslim, any Muslim.
Well,
Sam, I would suggest IQ debate, Mr. Keith Ellison. What do you think?
I think that would be, I would love to be able to set that up, David Kistler, and have Stand in the Gap today be a sponsor of that. I think that would be, you know what? I'd love to be able to do that, because that, you talk about presenting information in a clear way to the American people. IQ, I don't have to worry about you being able to handle yourself in that confrontation, but I doubt very seriously whether a Keith Ellison, who may become the new DNC chairman, a Muslim member of Congress, who is a revolutionary, he is, I don't think he'd accept that offer to debate you, IQ.
No Muslim will accept this offer.
Well, you're right. Nobody's
500 million of them. Not one of them would accept this offer.
Well, I tell you, IQ, we're getting close to the program. We've been attempting to close this program in prayer for our country, and I'm going to ask Dave Kistler to do that before he starts. IQ, I want to thank you for being on the program today, for giving us a whirlwind view of the response to Donald Trump across the country, across the world. Excellent. Thank you for what you do. And with that, I'm going to transfer to Dave Kistler right now. If you could close our program in prayer, and pray for those in Washington, the Trump administration, and what they're moving to do.
Be delighted to do it, Sam. Thank you, IQ, for being on with us. Father, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity we have and the venue that you've given us via radio to communicate the truth, not only across the United States, but around the world. Father, I thank you for our friend IQ, who has come on today, and he has certainly given much food for thought. Thank you for his clear and precise presentation with respect to the threat that Islam is, not just to America, not just to the West, but to the world. Father, I pray that you would expand his voice, Lord, as he tries to issue this alarm and has been issuing it for a long time. Father, I thank you also that he just said it today. There are entities out there who would love nothing more than to end Donald Trump's life. Father, I pray for Donald Trump. I pray for Mike Pence. I pray for the entire administration that, Father, you would put a hedge of protection about them. And as they move forward, guide them by your hand. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Stand in the Gap Weekend program, and we've just featured selections from our Stand in the Gap Today broadcast aired on November the 18th. Now, if you'd like to listen to our daily program, where you'll hear a news analysis from a biblical and constitutional perspective like this every day, you can tune in by visiting our website at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You can listen live daily from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on our website, or you can look for a station in the station's listing page on that site. We also have a one-minute program called Stand in the Gap Minute, which is a daily reflection on spiritual truths designed to help you in your walk with God. All three programs, Stand in the Gap Minute, Stand in the Gap Today, and Stand in the Gap Weekend, can be found at standinthegapradio.com. Just click on the name of the program you're interested in to access the archives. As we wrap up our program today, we trust that you and your family had a blessed Thanksgiving. You know, it's hard to believe the holidays are already upon us, and 2016 is about to give way to 2017. God has surely been good to us, and we have much to be thankful for. We here at the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Weekend are rejoicing in the opportunities we've had to reach pastors and people like you with our radio programs and various initiatives. One woman just wrote this, and maybe you identify with her. She said this: "Thank you and your team on Stand in the Gap today for all you did before the election in bringing truth to us. I can assure you that I and so many of my friends were not even going to vote, but you helped us to think this through. God bless you." And here's a note from a millennial age pastor. He wrote this: "As a pastor, I want you to know that I try to never miss a radio program. Your news analysis and your materials have been so very important to me in helping me teach my congregation a biblical worldview and how to change the culture around us. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Well, the response of these listeners has been a tremendous thrill to us, and we praise God that He is using our efforts to help others stand in the gap for truth. But we would like to do so much more, and God has put before us such great opportunities. If you're in the habit of making an end-of-the-year contribution to a ministry or a charity, would you consider helping us this year? Some of the ways your financial support would assist us would be in establishing additional state chapters. We currently have 5 state chapters, but our goal is to have a network of biblically obedient and courageous pastors in all 50 states. Wouldn't you agree that now is the time to have godly men speak with one powerful voice into the culture, and then if not now, when? As we transition to a new era in our nation, we desperately need truth to take the stand and real change to come about. APN is poised and ready to establish these networks, but we need your help. It takes about $10,000 to launch each state chapter, and your gift of any amount will go a long way towards helping us achieve this goal. Another way you can help us reach people is through the development of our own app. The younger generation, and even a few of the older ones, use a smartphone. In fact, about 4.5 billion people around the world do. And with our own app, people would be able to access our radio programs 24/7. And with this technology, people around the world would be able to listen in as well. And as you can imagine, an app like this is not only helpful, but necessary in reaching this culture. Would you consider giving towards this endeavor? As I mentioned before, for a gift of any amount, I'll send to you a CD of a recent sermon that I preached entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Culture. This message is timely for where we are in this post-election season, and I know that it'll be an encouragement to you. Now, to help is simple. You can call us at 610-901-3607. That's 610-901-3607. Or you can go to the standinthegapradio.com site and press the donate button. Now, to write out a check to APN, send your gift to Stand in the Gap Radio, 83 West Main Street, Suite 3, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. That's 83 West Main Street, Suite 3, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. You know, America is at a crossroads. God's people hold the key, and the pulpits of America must lead the way. Would you help us at American Pastors Network to stand in the gap for truth now? We hope to hear from you this week. Until then, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
Thank you for listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth, and to provide you with a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. APN promotes the return of our nation to God through preaching, praying, and equipping Christians to reclaim the culture as soldiers and ambassadors of Christ. God hears the calls of His people who learn the truth and obey it. To partner with APN, please visit us on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You can sign up to receive regular updates, to become a prayer partner, or to help as a financial partner. You may also call us at 610-901-3607. Again, that's 610-901-3607. To listen to any of our Stand in the Gap programs, including our live daily program, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in next week at this same time for Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network. Pastors preaching the truth, equipping their people to impact the culture for Christ.